Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. Today it's with me on Tell Del Tuesday is Horacio Rodriguez out of Salt Lake City. Horacio is a member with us a while back, and then as happens in life, stuff came up. It's just the way life is, you know. You have a plan, and then life tries to derail you from the plan. But luckily for Horacio, he was able to come back on plan and get back to real estate investing, and now owns a couple houses and I think about six multifamily deals he's in. Let me check that out and see if I'm right. No, three single families and six multifamily deals he's in. So he's gotten back into it. He's got it started up, so we want to bring him on and introduce him here today on Tell Del Tuesday. Horacio, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Del. I'm glad to be here.
How is the great Salt Lake City doing right now?
We're on fire, unfortunately. We had a really low snowpack year, and the fires have started early this year, and there's fires all over the state. So just crossing my fingers that everybody stays safe and it's not too bad.
That's the interesting thing about life, is that life is about challenges, and then you overcome those and things are good. Let's talk about way back, you know, when you decided that you wanted to do something in real estate investing. In fact, let's start with a little bit of your history, okay? What your education is, what your job base is, and then at what point did you think you were going to start doing some real estate?
So since very young, I've been an artist, and I went to school to be an artist, and I graduated and was teaching as an artist. But I quickly realized that the path that I was down was not really going to lead me to much financial success. And I had the problem was, is I loved what I did. It just wasn't a very, you know, high paying thing. So I decided back in I was probably in my mid to early 30s. I'm like, this is not going to work. I heard your show on the radio, and I'd listened probably for a year, and I decided, you know what, this is what I want to do. This makes sense. A friend of mine was investing in real estate. So I joined Lifestyles, and that was back in 2010.
Good story.
Yeah. So after joining, I had, you know, I was younger and I didn't have much available cash, but I was able to cobble together $40,000 or $50,000 to buy my first single family house and start my journey. And then my wife got really sick and she lost her job, and I saw life just get in the way, and all those dreams I had about real estate investing kind of went by the wayside because there were so much more pressing issues in life. And it was one of those first times too that I realized that how short and how sweet, you know, and precious life is. So I was derailed from that journey back in 2010, and I continued to live my life. I went to grad school. I got more education, and I got out of school and started working and was very successful doing what I was doing, being an artist. I got a job at the University of Utah. It's what brought me down here. But the quiet desperation was still there. And I realized that I needed to make some moves that were going to allow me to be financially free and have the lifestyle that I want. So I came back last summer and joined again, and I kicked it into overdrive since then. And since then, I have invested in six passive deals, multifamily, and I have bought two houses in Houston using the model. I had two previous houses that I had picked up between grad school and now. And so, yeah, I've just kind of put it in full throttle and am going to try to have 5 single family houses by the end of this year.
Well, you sound very upbeat, and I think we've stepped past some pain in your life. Can you share with us when your wife passed?
Yes. So unexpectedly, she did pass in 23, in November of 23. And that was the second event, I think, that made me really realize that how precious and how short life can be. And fortunately, she had a really good job with a tech company here in Salt Lake. And after she passed away, I was fortunate enough to inherit all of her stock options, and which gave me, you know, a nice little chunk of money to start investing in. And that's what I've been doing with the money, is deploying it and investing in these different properties just so I have good future and money coming in for me and the kids.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, as I'm trying to set the frame here for your adventure, is that you have kids too. How many kids do you have, and how old are they?
So my oldest now is 26, and that was from our previous relationship. But then the kids that I have now are 18, and, oh my gosh, my daughter just turned 14. Yes, 14 years old, yeah.
Okay. So let's look at the struggle here. First of all, you're creative. Creatives, their first thought is not money, so I'm very impressed that as a creative for a career, you figured out real quick, you know, this isn't going to get me there. And another guy that reminded me of that was a guy we had that played for the New York Philharmonic. And he was like a musician. He was a creative, right? And he also taught music on the side or whatever. And, you know, he woke up and said, you know, this isn't going to retire me someday. So for a creative to get the idea, hey, that there's money, that's a good secondary concept.
Well, it's a double-edged sword, Dale, because I love what I do, you know, and I've been very fortunate that I've been successful as an artist. You know, I've been able to have my work in museums and sell my work. I'm represented by a gallery, and I found success, and it felt really good. But with that success just did not come the other part of it, which was the money, unfortunately. So the funny story is I started buying houses before I rejoined Lifestyles, and I got a $60,000 grant for this artwork that I'd done. And I just decided, you know what, it was 21, COVID was just kind of winding down a little bit. The interest rates were really good. I'm like, I am going to take this money and I'm going to buy a property with it. Now, I didn't follow the Lifestyles model. I bought an Airbnb in Puerto Rico, which I still have. But it was the best decision I made with that money, because other people that got that same $60,000, they spent it within a year or two, you know, and mine is, I saw the power of it. It's still paying me today, still paid me. So I just, again, I think a light bulb went off in my head, like, this is going to be the way to make things happen. And then my wife passed away unexpectedly, and it just made sense that I need to do this, and I just felt the urgency that I needed to get on it, and that's what I've done this past year.
So how did you hear about it? You said you listened to the radio show. How did you get in for your first? Well, I guess we're going to a break here pretty soon. We'll save that question to after the break. When we come back, we'll talk about how you got in here, got the information, got started, what was on your mind when you first started. For the rest of you out there, looks like we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Horacio Rodriguez and the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Horacio Rodriguez out of Salt Lake City. And as we went to break, Horacio was just going to cover for us his first classes at Lifestyles. Horacio, do you remember going to the 2-day? Did you do it online? Did you do it live? How did you do that?
Originally or this past time?
Oh, you got two of them.
Because
okay.
originally in 2010, I took the 2-day two times with you.
Okay.
So I do even remember that. But yes, I took the 2-day, and since I'm in Salt Lake, I took the 2-day online over 4 days. Okay. At the end of last summer, I believe, is when I took that.
Now, on the first time you went that was live, you know, you're fresh and you're just starting to dig into this stuff. What was your largest aha moment? The stuff you go, boy, that's it. That's what I'm missing right there.
I think what it was taking this distressed asset and being able to, you know, with your money, borrow mostly money from the bank to fix it up and rent it out and capture all this equity. I just thought, man, that is a really smart way to make money, you know? And I am lucky that I had a really good friend of mine who had been doing it. So I had seen him do it too. And I realized, I was like, this is something, there's something to this. You know, but back then I didn't have a lot of money to invest. So I thought, you know, this would be a good way to build up some equity really quickly. The second time around, taking the 2-day, I realized that I had, you know, this amount of money that, you know, I had been granted, and I really needed to be careful and invest it wisely. And at that point, I was ready to do multifamily. I had the money for it, so I started really just digging in and taking all of the classes, calling Terry, and just really figuring out what it is I needed to do to get started with the multifamily. How do I vet the people? How do I vet the deals? And how do I see if the numbers make sense? And I invested in my first, I joined at the end of last summer. I invested in my first deal in December.
Now, when you were picking your deals, how did you decide which ones you want? Were you more swayed by who was doing the deal, which we call the jockey, or were you more swayed by what the deal was, which was the piece of real estate you're buying?
Well, since I'm not in Houston anymore, and I live here in Salt Lake, I had to do a lot of my research and meeting online. And so I had to kind of talk to other members and see, you know, do you have any experience with this person? Do you know about this person? And then really I would kind of just ask Terry questions, you know, about the strategy or what he was talking. In the beginning, I didn't even really know 100% what they were talking about. So I would ask questions. What does this mean? What does this do? And if I felt comfortable with the deal, I put money in. You know what I mean? And So there's been some now that I've had a chance to see lots of deals, now I can kind of spot, oh, this looks like a good deal, or oh, this doesn't look like a good deal. But in the beginning, I relied a lot on my mentor.
Okay. And how did you decide to split your money up? Did you say, I'm going to go a little bit here, a little bit there, or...
That was the question nobody would answer for me. I was like, I have this amount of money. I want to do this. And they're like, well, yeah. I think this was my thing, Dale. I had money, but I didn't have a lot of cash flow. So my thinking was I want to mainly invest in multifamily deals to really, you know, to increase that money. But I also need some money coming in on a monthly basis. And that was my thinking behind buying more multifamily houses. So what I said, the goal I set for myself at the end of last year is I'm going to do it for a year. I'm going to invest in the multifamily. I'm going to buy the single family houses. My goal was to buy 5 by the end of this year. And then I want to just kind of evaluate and see where things were going and see what my next move might be. So I'm kind of getting to the end of that year-long cycle, and, you know, I'm ready to kind of look back over what I've done this year and figure out where do I go from here. So
the single-family houses are the beauty of the single-family houses is the second that you close on them and put your tenant in, you're making cash. there's cash flow. That's the beauty of those.
Exactly.
The multifamily, you have to wait a little longer until they turn it around and start putting out distributions on those things. So it's a different point of view. You have to be willing to wait for the money. Now that you've had a year behind you or under your belt, which way do you think you're going to go in the second year?
Well, I'm still evaluating type B personality, but what I like about the multifamily is that it doesn't require a lot of me. You know, initially I need to vet the deal and I need to vet the lead and I need to put that work in the beginning, but then you kind of just are sitting back and waiting. I have started to receive dividends. So I you know, did that first deal in December. I've gotten dividends from that. I've gotten dividends from a deal that I closed in February, and then the dividends are coming from a deal I closed in March. Now those only come every quarter. Yes. Yeah. So all of the deals I invested in were value plays. I mean,
yield.
My goodness. Yield place. Thank you, Dale. Yeah. Yield place. Yes. So they were supposed to be cash flowing from the onset, and they have done that. With the two houses that I've bought, the first one is rented and is cash flowing. And it's doing well. The second one is still in rehab, and hoping in the next 2 to 3 weeks that one is going to be out of rehab. Coming back to the question you asked me, which one would I be more likely to do? I'm probably more likely to put the bulk of my money in the multifamily. The single family has been a lot of work, and it's been good because I set the time aside for that. But I can see going forward that I think the multifamily is probably what I'm going to focus on the most.
Well, that's great, because if you can make the multifamily work and be totally passive, that's the best of the, you know, both worlds. And I'm very proud of you. You picked deals that were cash flowing right away as opposed to ones that are going to take 2 or 3 years before they cash flow. I mean, there are deals out there that take a long time. I think the longest one I ever did was 18 months, but it was completely vacant. It was 300 units completely vacant. So it took a long time to turn that one around. But for you, you're doing very well. I think we'll take a break now. And when we come back, we'll get deeper into the story here with Horacio Rodriguez and the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
The roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Working full-time but still falling behind? Learn how real estate education can help you build income and get ahead. On your terms, text RADIO to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. With me here today is Horacio Rodriguez out of Salt Lake City. And Horacio's got 6 multifamily deals he's invested in and 3 single-family houses. So he's been moving quite along in the last 2 years here. Done very well. As we look at this now, Horacio, you've got money mixed out in different types of places that were left over from your wife's leaving inheritance to you. And have you ran into any psychological problems with getting the money out of these places? Because I was looking at where the money was at. It looked like she had a 401k, some IRA money. Then you have some regular cash. Have you had any psychological problems with getting the money out of the 401k or the IRA?
So I have not gotten that far yet. I had enough. Fortunately, when she passed away, I sold all her stock options because they were all vested in one company. And then I kind of spread that out while I figured out what I was going to do. And that cash is still, I'm still working on that, deploying that. So I have an IRA and a 401k sitting in there. It'll need some attention next, but yeah, I haven't gotten there. So I'm in.
I would assume since you inherited the 401k, is it her 401k or is it yours?
It was her 401k. So it,
in
it,
that case, you
rolled
should,
over.
Yeah, you should have the ability to liquidate it. There's no, there should be no penalty for liquidating it, I don't think, in that particular case. Of course, you can look into
I
that.
I think, yeah, I definitely need to look into that. At the, you know, at the time everything happened, Dell, I was really just in a fog. And, you know, I, it took me probably a year for me to kind of wake up from and realize, you know, the gravity of what had happened and how life had, had just fundamentally changed for me. But yeah, there's definitely, there's enough there that I can, you know, take care of my family and take care of us for the foreseeable future. And you know, what I'm trying to do is build something for them, that they can continue after I'm gone and, you know, lead a good life. And, you know, I'm trying to show them by example, you know, how to get ahead in life and how to do things and how to plan and, you know, how to have like a purpose. And yeah, so I'm very fortunate now that I am able to spend time here at home, take my daughter to school, taking her to a photography class here in a little bit. And it's been nice to just, you know, be here at home and with the kids and do that and enjoy that.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been able to release the stress of it all, even though you've gone through so much. I think that the amount of money you have that you've given me here in your resume could quite easily produce the amount of money you wanted to produce to be able to retire type thing. So that's not a problem. Just a matter of how you're going to get there. The question is, do you want to go where? Do you want to go the other way and so forth? But you have enough money to do that. Hence, if you got enough for you, then two other points are to be made next. One, that if you do it correctly, that's going to be generational wealth. In other words, if you do it, it should probably double by the time you would hand it over to your kids, or maybe even double or quadruple. You know, it depends on how much of it you do. So if you're going to be handing over a lot larger amount when you hand it to the kids, so they do need to understand how to perpetuate it, how to save it, how to maintain it, how to protect it, and so forth. In that scenario, that's
definitely. And even before my wife had passed away, we had set up a trust to not just give the kids a bunch of money if something happened to us. You know, so we have it staggered. Where they would get some at 24, 25, and then get the bulk of it after 30. Mm-hmm. Because the last thing we wanted to do was hand a bunch of kids in their 20s a lot of money. So, and that continues today. So,
that's
I
wise.
Want to teach them how to, you know, manage this and how to make it grow so they have the same for their kids, right?
Absolutely. So the second question I was going to pose to you then was going to be,
okay,
since you have enough money literally to retire if you wanted to right now, based on what your needs are, based on what you have, are you still working? Are you still, you love art. That's your thing, man. Are you still doing it?
It is. It is. And I feel so blessed, Del, that yes, I can do that. I made a decision at the end of last summer because that I just wanted to take some time off. When my wife passed away in 23, I was in the middle of a lot of projects. I was on a couple of boards, and I wasn't able to take that time that I needed. So I made a commitment to myself. I'm going to pull back on the art, and for this 1 year, I'm going to just focus on real estate investing. And that's what's allowed me to buy all these properties in less than a year, because it's what I get up and do every morning. But I am very much looking forward to getting back into the studio and starting to work again.
What kind of art do you do? What do you produce?
I was hoping you wouldn't ask me that question. I make...
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I make political ceramic sculpture. So we are probably on the two opposite ideological ends of the spectrum. A lot of my work is political. A lot of it deals with immigration and you know, things of that nature. So what's been great, though, about Lifestyles is to go in. I went to the expo in March and meet all different kinds of people from all different spectrums of life. And they come together, and the one goal that they have is the real estate investing and to make passive income. So that's been great.
Were you surprised how open people were when you got to meet everybody?
Yes. Yes. And it's caused me to be more open when I talk to people about money and finances. And I think it's a little shocking sometimes because I think, you know, a lot of times you're taught not to really talk about money or spending money or even saving money or, you know what I mean? The things to do around talking about money with people you don't know very well just seems to be very taboo, you know? And so these days I find myself talking to people about money, not in the sense like, oh, look what I have and look at what you have, more about how can we put it to work? How can we invest it? And how can we grow it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And people were willing to share. You know, that's the interesting thing. So,
for
okay,
sure.
Here I am. Here's somebody over here that's got, has gone through what I'm at right now, and they've got some hindsight, which is really valuable in those test situations, and I like it. I also like the friendships of it. Have you built any friendships out of this stuff?
You know, that's been a little bit harder, Del, because I am not, you know, I feel kind of removed. I'm in Salt Lake City, and I'm not, you know, close. I would say, though, that I have, I would call them friendships, but I have become, you know, close to the leads. I have talked to the leads. I wanted to get to know the leads before I invest money with them. So, yes. And, you know, at the expo, I met a ton of people. You know what I mean? Nobody, unfortunately, from Utah. But I did meet a ton of people, and people have been super open and willing to help and share and just give me ideas on what I should do.
That's interesting. What drew you to Utah, just out of curiosity?
Well, I got the job teaching at the University of Utah. So I taught in the art department and the ceramics department until 2019. And I loved Utah so much that, you know, I thought I was going to come to Utah. You hear stories about Utah. And I thought I was going to come here, and I thought I was not going to like it. And I had a 3-year contract to come and teach here. But really, within 6 months of being here, I'd fallen in love with it. I like the mountains, and I like the outdoors, and it's so close here. So I decided to stay.
Yeah.
Originally, I grew up in Houston. I spent the first 18 years of my life in Houston, and, you know, as soon as I could, I got out of there.
You know, that's funny. There's an old saying, I wasn't born in Texas, but I got here as soon as I could. Now you're saying.
Yes, I've seen that T-shirt for sure.
I got out as quick as I could. Yep. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back and finish up the story here with Horacio Rodriguez and the Del Walmsley Radio Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today on Tell Del Tuesday is Horacio Rodriguez out of Salt Lake City. And as we went to break, we were just talking about what's it like to live up in Salt Lake City. And I know it's a beautiful area. Been skiing up there many times. It's just an incredible area. I had one of my best friends went to Utah because he was a Mormon. And so there's all these different kinds of people up there. You're right. What I wanted to ask you was, with this diversity of people up there, and being that you're in art, which is, you know, probably more liberal, we'll call it liberal arts, do you talk to anybody around your job or your friends or your, you know, just the cultural people you hang out with about investing, or is that taboo?
No, you know, I do. And actually, my good friend is the state visual arts coordinator And I am talking to him. I'm trying to convince him to go to a 2-day with me. He's interested in investing in real estate. He also, you know, has come to the realization that I did that, you know, the arts are great. He loves it, but he also needs some other streams of income so he can continue to be in the arts and provide for his family. So, I do talk about it. And you know, I think some people are very receptive to it. And then other people are like, you know, and they don't want to hear anything about it. But, you know, a lot of the people in my circle, a lot of the artist friends I know, we struggle. You know, we struggle to make money. And the way that we make money sometimes is like feast or famine. You know, I could sell $15,000, $20,000 worth of art and then not sell anything for another 6 months. So I feel like it's a good fit for me because, you know, the time commitment has been intensive this year, but I can see the potential for there being a minimal time commitment, which will leave a lot of time for me to continue to make art. And the benefit for me personally is that I'm not going to be making art that I think is going to necessarily have to sell. I can make the art that I want to make that's true to me, and whether it sells or doesn't sell, I'm still going to be able to eat. You know, I'm still going to be able to travel. I'm still going to be able to pay for my house. So it's kind of been a good fit for me in that way.
That is good. Have you spoke to your kids about it at all? Do they have any interest in it?
I have, yes. And my oldest daughter, who's 26, she works as she majored in like economics and financial things, and so she is kind of who I'm like prepping to take over this, you know, if anything ever happens to me when I'm gone, you know, she's the most likely candidate. My other two kids are very artistic and they are still really young. I'd like to, with my son, at least, he got a little bit of money too when everything happened. So I'd like to see him take some of that money he got and maybe we can buy a house together. And I can show him that process. Thus far, he's shown very little interest in that, but yeah, I definitely look forward to passing this on.
Are there any grandparents in the story here?
Grandparents?
Yeah.
My mom?
Kids' grandparents.
Yes, my mom.
Like,
yes.
And how do they see this?
Oh, I think they have cheered me on from the sidelines. My mom and my stepdad still live in Houston, and the second property I bought is maybe 15 minutes from their house. So my mom is like, you know, that looks great, but I'm too old for that. And, you know, I get it. She's in her 70s, and yeah, she's comfortably retired. You know what I mean? She's not working for money. She doesn't need to work. So I give her a hard time about it, but, yeah, she's fine. But they've been very supportive.
So here's a strange question for you. Do your kids and your parents let you date?
Yes, I have a girlfriend, though. It took a while. It took a while. And this is the thing. I think the person who was opposed to it and most was my oldest daughter. Because even though Kelly was not her mom, she was very close to Kelly. And I think it was the hardest for her when, you know, what I tell the kids is I'm like, look, you know, I'm 52. I'm young still. And you guys are all busy living your own life. Like I was pretty lonely, honestly, just being there, you know, by myself. So I think it was after 2 years, it was understandable that their dad was going to date again. You know, and thankfully I've met a great person who's very understanding and has not sought to remove any memories of Kelly. You know, Kelly's still here, very much here, as much as she can be. And so, yeah, I feel that life is really good right now. So I feel really blessed.
Well, it makes the story better, doesn't it?
It does. I hope it has a good ending.
Well, it's not just the ending. It's just the surviving, the living. Living is a better word for it, not surviving. Surviving sounds like a life of quiet desperation. But, you know, just the enjoyment of life is that you only have so much of it. You better enjoy it.
And that is probably my biggest takeaway from everything happening is that, you know, at any moment you could be in a car accident or you could, you know, any number of things could happen, right? And most people are putting off the enjoyment and the happiness till later. Okay, I'm going to work. I'll get there. And then I saw it happen to my grandparents, you know, my grandfathers. Both of them retired, and within 5 years, they were both dead, you know. And I have known from a young age that I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to sit behind a desk my whole life. And that's partly why I became an artist, you know. I knew going into it, it was going to be tough, but I wanted to spend every day doing things that I loved, you know, and I feel like now I can do it even more.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show and be very happy about your successes. The rest of you out there, remember this. It's not just the money. It's the quality of the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day, and thank you again, Horatio.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.